As a matter of principle, I think a trip to Ireland should include both the Republic, that's the about 75% of the island that's independent with Dublin the capital, and Northern Ireland, and that's the bit in the far north that remains part of the United Kingdom governed from London. Often overlooked, Northern Ireland is a land of rugged beauty and deep and a complicated history and a warm welcome. Stops in the vibrant cities of Belfast and Derry are a must, but there's much more. Guide Lynn Corkin joins me today from Northern Ireland in our studio to talk about the underrated region of the United Kingdom. Lynn, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Rick. Thanks for having me.
It must be interesting to be from Northern Ireland, to be a guide, a professional guide in Northern Ireland, and to sort through the complicated history and to help people appreciate that, hey, we're doing our best and there's lots to do up here.
Well, most people who come to Ireland, if they've been before, they've been to the Republic of Ireland. And for all the obvious reasons of our recent history, they avoided Northern Ireland. So it's always a joy to show them the absolutely stunning countryside and the fascinating history. It's a different history from Dublin or Cork or Limerick or Galway, but it's just as interesting. And we have wonderful tourist attractions now as well. And actually, since the Good Friday Agreement of 1998, which is really the document, the treaty that brought the Troubles to an end, tourism in Northern Ireland has really taken off.
You know, I feel before that, it was, frankly, kind of depressing almost. It was glum.
Yeah.
The economy was bad. You just felt like, why would you come here for a vacation? It was heartbreaking. And that's almost 25 years now. But since then, Northern Ireland is just thriving. You go to Belfast and it's edgy, it's creative, it's vibrant, it's enjoying great food.
Yes.
It must be.
Food seems wonderful now compared to what it was.
Oh, God.
And I know it wasn't good, but Northern Ireland, I think agriculture is the single biggest income generating sector. And then tourism.
Tourism. Yeah.
And I'm old enough to remember meeting a French couple in Belfast and saying, are you sure you mean to be here? This isn't Dublin. You've got off the train at the wrong spot.
I remember the first time I took a group, one of our little minibus tours, I was driving the bus and we went to Derry and the mayor was so amazed that there was a group of Americans that he invited us into his mansion.
In the Guildhall.
In the Guildhall.
Yeah.
And we had a private audience with the
yes.
mayor of Derry.
To make you feel welcome. Thank you for coming.
Because he says, thank you for coming to our town. Nobody comes here.
I know.
Well, that was a long time ago because a lot of people go to Derry and to Belfast and to the beauties of Northern Ireland. Now, let's talk before we get into specifics. Northern Ireland is part of Ulster. Ulster is one of the historic regions of the island of Ireland. Mm-hmm. But Northern Ireland, that part of the United Kingdom, is most of Ulster in the north of Ireland.
Yeah. The six northeastern counties of the island of Ireland are Northern Ireland, but they are part of the province of Ulster, which is nine counties.
Oh, and there you go. So three of those are part of the Republic.
Three of those. Donegal, Monaghan and Cavan are part of the Republic of Ireland.
For a lot of people, they think of Ireland and it's mostly Catholic, St. Patrick, the three-leaf clover, the Emerald Isle of saints and scholars and all of that. And Northern Ireland, it doesn't have quite that romance. You know, it's London ruled, it's mostly Protestant. But the more you know it, the more you realize it's its own brand of Irishness. How would you defend Northern Ireland when people just want to see shamrocks and leprechauns?
The population, the religious balance of the population now of Northern Ireland is sort of 50-50,
yeah.
really. I remember a writer, travel writer, Dervla Murphy, she called Northern Ireland a place apart.
Yes.
And it does have that quality all the years of British rule over the whole of Ireland. Ulster, the northern province, it was the furthest from Dublin. It was the furthest from English rule. It was the most rebellious, the most Gaelic, the wildest, the most inaccessible. And then the plantation of Ulster happened in the 1600s.
So let's talk about that first of all. So England was the great colonial empire. You
yes.
know? And you could say the first colony that England conquered and ruled was Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not easy. And the English, in order to control Ireland, planted settlers from Scotland into Northern Ireland, which, as you said, was the most spirited and Celtic and mm-hmm. Irish, you know. And it plants a lot of seeds of discord and problems, and that kind of shaped the history, didn't it?
It really did shape the history. History changed forever because I suppose it's incontestable that the local population, the native Irish Catholic population, were displaced to the west
yeah.
of the north of Ireland to make room for these new settlers from Scotland.
Wasn't there a phrase, go to hell or go to Connemara?
Go to hell or Connaught. Cromwell gave the native Irish the choice to hell or Connaught, which, of course, rainfall is heaviest in the west. The land is poorer. The land is much richer in the east. And so when these Scottish settlers arrived in the north of Ireland, they settled primarily in the counties of Antrim and Down because they were the closest to Scotland, 13 miles away.
Yeah.
And to this day, the River Bann, which runs down the middle of Northern Ireland, most Protestants live to the east of the River Bann, nearest to Scotland.
Oh, yeah.
And most Catholics live to the west.
And it is interesting for you to say that in the north of Ireland, which we think of as Protestant, it's 50-50.
It's 50-50 religious balance now.
So there you go. And I often think of Belfast, the major city of Northern Ireland, the capital, as a sister city of Glasgow.
Yeah.
They're both industrial cities, great ports, you know, shipbuilding,
yes,
and a lot of cultural connections.
A lot of similarities. Even it looks similar. The city centre of Belfast would resemble Glasgow. And of course, the northern accent, which I have, often a lot of English people might think we're Scottish because to them we sound Scottish.
We're looking at the many ways you can explore Northern Ireland right now on Travel with Rick Steves. Blue Badge certified guide Lynn Corkin lives just outside Belfast in County Down. Her themed tours include the Van Morrison Trail and can be conducted in Spanish, Portuguese, and French. We provide links to our guests in the notes for each week's show at ricksteves.com/radio. And just in a nutshell, Lynn, what is the latest on the Troubles? Because it was such a tragic thing when I was younger, and now it feels like the Protestant and Catholic communities have learned to, if not embrace each other, at least realize that violence is not going to be a solution and we'll live together.
I think we are learning to live with each other. I mean, the success of the Good Friday Agreement, which, you know, was thanks to many politicians, but for your audience, President Clinton and Senator George Mitchell played a key role. And we're all very grateful for their interest in our little part of the world. But yeah, 25 years since the Good Friday Agreement, it's not completely all peace and love just yet, but people are learning to live together. And one of the great things, I think, is the young generation study this period in history in school, just like we studied the Second World War.
Yeah.
For them, it's history.
It's history. Well, that's a beautiful thing.
And that's wonderful.
That is
wonderful.
In Belfast, of course, you've got the sectarian neighborhoods,
yeah,
the Protestant and the Catholic neighborhoods and the Peace Wall and the memorials and the graveyards. And I want to stress, we always say Catholic and Protestant. It doesn't mean religious as much as that's the cultural basis. You know, the Protestants are the loyalists to London, and the Catholics, whether they go to Mass or not, they are in favor of Irish independence, I think. So it's kind of a misnomer to be simply calling it a religious thing, because it's much, much more than that.
I wouldn't call it that. You know, we would say more nationalist Republican community and the loyalist unionist community. And really, you know, the differences and the violence and all the rest of it was not about people's different interpretation of the Bible or religion. It was more about people's cultural and political identity, which often coincides with their given religion at birth.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
Yeah. I got to say, Lynn, in the United States, we've got a lot of deep divisions in our political discourse right now. And there's actually people in our country that feel curious about having a civil war. I mean, I think they're serious. We had a civil war back in the middle of the 1800s. Mm-hmm. You had a civil war in the 1920s.
Yeah.
And you just got through a civil war period with the Troubles.
Mm-hmm.
How is it? How is the civil war? Is that something that's kind of worth the trouble?
It's not something you want. The sorrow of the families, whichever side they were on, of all those who died, and the long-lasting intergenerational trauma, it's called, in Northern Ireland, where the grandson of somebody who was killed or injured in the Troubles, or the granddaughter, they suffer this intergenerational trauma that's passed down through the families.
Intergenerational trauma. So if if a society decides to go to the civil war to sort out its differences, generations later, their loved ones, their family will be paying the price.
It seems to be that way
that's
in Northern Ireland.
That's your experience in Ireland.
Yes.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. I'm talking with Lynn Corkin. She's a guide from Northern Ireland. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. And you can email us at radio@ricksteves.com. Jay's on the line from Cherry Hill in New Jersey. Hey, Jay.
Hey, Rick. Hey, Lynn.
Hello.
Thanks for your call. What's on your mind, Jay?
So Belfast has been on my bucket list for a long time. And I'm wondering, how do I honor and bear witness to the rocky and sometimes violent political history you guys were referring to, but also, you know, have a really great time?
That's a very good question.
The heavy side of that, but also have fun?
Well, that's what most people do when they come to Belfast. They manage to combine both. A lot of people will take a private tour, a taxi tour around the Peace Walls to see the political murals. This would be the Falls Road Shankill area in West Belfast. And in that sense, you are honouring those who died. It's a very sad symbol of the continuing division in some parts of Belfast. Also in Derry, you know, you could go to various memorials, including Bloody Sunday, to honour those who died during the Troubles. And there were almost 4,000 people from all walks of life in Northern Ireland and beyond it. There's also a great exhibition on the history of the Troubles in the Ulster Museum in Belfast beside Queen's. But, you know, it's not just that. It's not just Troubles tourism. There are major now tourist attractions. Titanic Belfast is now the number one tourist attraction in Northern Ireland. Second is the Giant's Causeway, which is up in the beautiful Antrim coast. And of course, Belfast nightlife, Belfast restaurants, Belfast pubs, and the same in Derry and many points in between, just for what we call crack, general crack in the pubs. You don't know who you'll meet.
So that's interesting. You've got three things here. We've got honouring the Troubles and learning from the history, and there's plenty of ways to do that, learning about both communities. The trendy thing now is to get a dual narrative taxi tour. Somebody from the Protestant community showing you the Protestant neighbourhood, somebody from the Catholic neighbourhood showing you the, so you don't get a one-sided view. There are all of the fun alternative sites that have nothing to do with the Troubles. And then there's the crack, which means the convivial conversations, the energy in the pubs, the warm welcome. You've got that in the North every bit as vividly and enjoyably as in the Republic. And that is often underrated.
And one of the advantages for you as an American or any visitor to Northern Ireland, we're not jaded by tourism yet. We're still delighted that people come. So I think people will say, oh, where are you from? Oh, whereabouts are you from in America? And they're truly delighted to have you there.
This is true. I didn't realize that until you said it. But when you go to the north of Ireland, you're a triumph. You're somebody who's coming into the country with a curiosity and wanting to meet the people and to celebrate their story.
And people will be as curious about you as a tourist as you are about Ireland. So you'll get a warm welcome.
But Jay, I would say I'm glad you've got a curiosity and a respect for the lessons of recent history that we can all learn from. And there are plenty of great ways to connect with that, especially in Belfast and in Derry, okay?
I'll let you know how it goes.
Thank you very much.
Have a great time.
Thanks for your call. Very, very quickly, Lynn, in Belfast, of course you've got the Titanic Quarter, which is amazing. I mean, Belfast built the Titanic,
and my great-grandfather worked on the Titanic. My uncle worked in the shipyard. My dad is sort of in the DNA of the city of Belfast.
It really is.
The attraction, the Titanic Belfast, as it's called, is the largest Titanic attraction in the world. And I remember a lot of people when it was proposed back in, say, 2005, people were going, who's going to come years later to see something about Titanic?
It is so fun.
It never stops. I'm there regularly as a guide. They've updated it. They spent $4 million in the last year or two updating all the exhibits, and its popularity never fades.
Tour guide Lynn Corkin is sharing tips for visiting Northern Ireland right now on Travel with Rick Steves. And Scott in Boca Raton in Florida has emailed us, and Scott writes, we spent a week in Northern Ireland in March. We spent St. Patrick's Day in Downpatrick and then stayed on the Antrim coast. We'd like to go back, and we're curious about any hidden gems beyond the big sites for adults that the kids would like. Okay, so yeah, you know, everybody's going to go to Belfast, and everybody hopes going to go to Derry. And if you think about the Antrim coast, that is the sort of the well-worn trail where you've got your whiskey tasting, you've got your ruined castle,
The rope bridge,
and the Giant's Causeway, which is a geological spectacular place to hike and see all these formations. That's all great. Everybody knows about it. There's lots of crowds. What is a dimension of Ireland in the north that would be fun for families that is not going to be crowded?
A less explored part of Northern Ireland would be County Down. For example, it's very close to Scotland. You know, there's lots of seaside towns, really. They're not so touristy. But you could go down the beautiful Ards Peninsula. You could stop in Portaferry for lunch, cross over on the short ferry, like 5-10 minute ride over to Strangford, continue on down along the beautiful coastline, go to the town of Newcastle, which is a seaside town with lots of fun activities for kids, and then into the mountains of Mourne and just explore the forest park there and the beautiful scenery.
You know, a seaside town with fun activities for kids, that sounds to me a little bit like Blackpool or a little bit like Brighton or a little bit about Coney Island. Mm. I love that idea. In Northern Wales, there's a couple of old-fashioned resort towns coast, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Llyril and Llandudno.
And I went there and it was great. And what was great about it was there was no American tourists there. There was just local people having a great time with their families.
Exactly. That's why I would recommend Newcastle, because it just isn't on that big tourist hit list.
Right.
So you're just going to be mixing
with
local people.
Take your kids there and you'll have some...
Get fish and chips, get an ice cream, go on the amusements, go on the rides, you know.
Candy floss?
Candy floss, absolutely, yes. You can't leave without having the candy floss. It's really bad for you.
What do we call it?
Cotton candy.
We call it cotton candy. Yeah,
but okay.
Candy floss. So I love this small town, humble amusement park kind of thing where the families are going and water fun and all of that.
And the beauty of Newcastle, it is where the mountains of Mourne come down to the sea, as in the song.
That's the song. I've got a friend who lives there.
So you're literally walking along the promenade with all the amusements and the swimming pool and the sea and the beach. But the mountains of Mourne, which are glorious, the highest mountain in Northern Ireland is...
What is the song that where the mountains
flow? Percy French, where the mountains of Mourne sweep down to the sea.
Lynn, it's so fun to talk to you about Northern Ireland. I want to finish our conversation by going to the part of Ulster... That's part of the Republic, but it's way up in the northwest of Ireland. And I just want to be in a remote, beautiful, pristine piece of the British Isles and Ireland that is connecting to the sea. Where would I go?
Well, without hesitation, I would recommend Donegal. It's the most northern county of the whole of Ireland. It's up in the northwest. Fabulous beaches, very low population. Of course, a very sad reason why it's a low population, the famine and all the consequences of it. But my family, we all go, a huge group of us, every summer to Downings, for example. It's got one hotel, campsite, one pub, beautiful views, beautiful beaches.
That sounds like a name I'd like you to spell. What is that?
Downings.
Downings.
Just a very small little village in Donegal, but very popular with people from Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
Not so many people come from Dublin or Cork or Kerry up to Donegal. It's too far. The communications aren't great. But for us in Northern Ireland, it's very close. And of course, it's part of the historic province of Ulster.
That's
even
great.
Though one's in the Republic, one's in Northern Ireland, we've a lot in common as Northerners.
You know, that's a very good point that I hadn't even considered. You do have a little bit of Ulster spirit.
Yes.
You've got a lot of dynamics
going
on. The
rebel spirit.
Lynn Corkin, thanks so much, and I'll hope to see you in Northern Ireland someday soon.
Thank you very much.
From Baltry Bay up to Derry, and from Galway to Dublin town, no maid I've seen like the brown Colleen that I met in the county down.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced at Rick Steves Europe in Edmonds, Washington, by Tim Tatton, Casimir Hall, and Donna Bardsley. Andrew Wakeling and Sherry Court upload the shows to our website. Our theme music was written and performed by Jerry Frank. Affiliate relations are by Sheila Gerzoff. You can find links to our guests and search the show archives at ricksteves.com/radio. We'll see you next week with more Travel with Rick Steves.